your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, continue my discussion with Joshua Melville, the author of a book entitled American Time Bomb. Joshua, we have to take a break for a commercial break, I guess, for lack of better terms. When we had to take that break, we were talking about the vitriolic nature of an awful lot of what I would call social media, which I agree with you is a problem. Can you elaborate a little bit on why it's a problem? Just elaborate a little bit more, if you would.
Well, I think I boiled it down in the last segment. You're creating a medium whereby people can spontaneously say whatever's on their mind, and then it becomes permanent, you know, in the digital link of the internet. And I'm not sure this is a good thing in the long run, because most people tend to regret some of the things that they say spontaneously. And we haven't developed yet, maybe we will, but as a society, we haven't yet developed the muscles to show restraint in this new medium. And so people that have been friends for decades, you know, find themselves, you know, polarized and hating each other over things that, you know, 50 years ago we could have civilly disagreed about, but because of the medium of social media, it becomes amplified and kind of spirals out of control.
Yeah, I really wonder sometimes, people are pretty uptight in America today, and I think a lot of the, for lack of better terms, uptightness, there's a new word, just introduced that since the 60s. I think people are really very uptight because of the uncertainty of COVID. Got any comments on that?
Well, I don't think COVID's has made the situation any better, any easier, and it doesn't seem to be. It's really unfortunate that some of the cities, mostly ones that are democratic controlled in this country, have erupted in such violence, and that the authorities in those cities have stood down and allowed the violence to perpetrate.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends who are good friends of mine, bright, intelligent people, will both watch the same news clip and they'll swear they're looking at a peaceful protest.
Right,
and
right.
It doesn't look like that at all. At a peaceful protest, someone's throwing a Molotov cocktail at a Walmart. But, people see what they want to see.
Well, a lot of my friends have said, well, a lot of the violence is being occurred because people want to loot stores, for purely and simply. I don't think that's the case. I think there is a tremendous, tremendous amount of, and I'll use the word again, uptightness in our country right now. And I think COVID is playing a part of that. But I also think that a lot of the uncertainty that's involved politically right now is playing a part. Any comment on that?
Well, I don't think we have political uncertainty. I think people feel very certain and very entrenched in their political ideology, and it just seems like it's being pushed further and further towards the extremes.
Yep.
Especially on the left. You know, I was raised, as your audience knows, I've been a registered Democrat my whole life and pretty much voted Democrat most of my life. But, you know, in the last 5 years, I find myself being kind of politically homeless, not really sympathizing with some of the agenda of the new left, today's new left.
Yeah.
Being a family man and being someone who owns a business and owns real estate, I never would have imagined that I would think of myself as a traditional conservative. But most of my East Coast friends who I grew up with now consider me a conservative.
Mm-hmm. What do you consider yourself to be, Josh? What do you personally consider yourself to be?
I think it's hard to define me because it depends on the issues. Now, I don't have a problem with gay marriage. I don't have a problem with people, but I also don't have a problem with people owning guns. I personally own a gun, but I don't have a problem with people owning guns, and I understand the need for them for personal protection. So it really depends on which issue, you know, you choose. I believe in a woman's right to choose in terms of her body and reproductive rights, but, you know, I think it can also go too far. And this is clearly an issue that half the country is, that the entire country is completely divided on. So the difference, I think, between me and some of my contemporaries is, even though I believe one way, considering how polarized the issue is, an evolved person has to entertain the idea that there's another point of view out there that's different from your own, and you have to develop some respect for that. What I see happening in today's new left is they don't seem to be respecting the other side, and so it's just become kind of a verbal free-for-all. and no one's really listening to one another, and as a result, the problems are not getting solved.
No, the problems aren't getting solved. You know, I'm reading a book right now on Fauci, you know, Tony Fauci, for lack of better terms. And the author of that book, who happens to be the son of Bobby Kennedy, basically said that the Democratic Party, as you were a part of, died in 2020. Would you agree with that?
Died might be a strong word. It certainly morphed into something that I don't recognize.
Yeah. And how are you dealing with that? Do you talk about that in the book at all, American Time Bomb?
I don't talk about my personal politics in the book because there's enough politics in the book without me getting into my personal politics. But people around me talk about their politics to me in the book. And so, for example, the girlfriend that I had at the time, at one point in the book, kind of gets fed up with the fact that I've become obsessed with learning about my father and not focusing on our relationship at the time, and said, says in the book, you know, I don't understand, you know, radicals aren't necessarily heroes. You know, they don't have the patience to work within a system to affect change. So, you know, they perform radical acts, and, you know, they feel that, you know, you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs, and the eggs that they're breaking are the children. Mm-hmm. People are going to have to grow up in the wake of their devastation. And she goes on to say, why throw, and this is a question I wrestle with in the book quite a bit. You know, I asked many of the radicals, why did you do these things? Why blow up buildings? Why do these things? They said, well, to get rid of Nixon. I said, but you did this when Nixon started his second term. He only had 3 years left in office. Why are you throwing away your life and risking the lives of others for someone that's going to be out of office in 3 years? And they just kind of look at me with a blank stare like I'm out of my frickin' mind.
Maybe they just enjoy doing what they're doing. Maybe they enjoy instigating violence. I don't know.
That was the point I was making earlier. What the conclusion that I came to was that it didn't matter who was in office. It didn't matter what war we were fighting. I think these were people who had a violent side to them, even though they called themselves pacifists, and they found a fashionable outlet for their rage and committed acts of violence that
right.
were cool at the time. It was cool to be mad at your parents at the time, and it was cool to hate the government at the time. So what better time to be an anarchist than 1969? And that has repeated today. There's no better time to be an anarchist than now.
Well, when you have police chiefs resigning because they can't uphold the law, and you have mayors not running for re-election because they can't uphold the law, I would have to say you're 100% right. Josh, got about 40 seconds left. Why should people buy your book, American Time Bomb?
I think people should buy my book for a couple of reasons. First of all, it gives a perspective on the last 60 years of this country's history that I don't think anybody else has looked at, not through this lens, not through the personal lens of going inside the mind of one of the key radicals that helped shape, that was the foundation of many other radical groups throughout that time period, and understand what it takes for someone to convert, to become from a straight-laced, you know, family man to become, you know, a full underground radical leader. I think understanding the mentality of that helps us understand the violence of today and helps us understand the political division of today and helps us cope with it better.
And that's absolutely critical. Joshua Melville, thank you so much for your time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to pick up a copy of this book, come to our website. We'll show you how to do it. Josh.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.